CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Monday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. And we once again want to just encourage you in this new coming year, as it's going to start in the next couple of days, to really let your light shine. You know, the darker the world gets, the brighter you're going to shine. And so we set this time aside every weekday afternoon to answer questions about the Bible from the Bible, look at current events through a biblical perspective, and what we hear in church, is it even in the Bible at all? And so often we find that a lot of it is man's rules, not what God says, but what man somehow acquaints to being righteous. And oftentimes it isn't. It's just a works trip. You know, we're all saved, not because we're good, but because Jesus came and died on a cross for us. That's what Christmas was all about. God's greatest gift to the world, Jesus Christ. God became man and dwelt among us and died for us in our place. Boy, I'll tell you, that's some good news. And that's what the gospel is all about. And I just want to, just once again, just wish all of you a very, very happy new year. I believe that this next year is going to present itself with a lot of challenges, but I do believe that there's going to be a lot of great opportunity to share the Lord, because again, people are looking for answers. And as much as government may try, it will never solve those questions in your soul. And so being about your Father's business, if you're a Christian, let your light shine. If you're not, hey, why don't you start the new year off serving God instead of serving yourself? Saying, Lord, from now on, whatever time I got left is yours, because I accept what Jesus died on the cross for me, what he did for me on that cross. And I want to be your child from this day forward. You know, the Bible says, if we'll turn from our sins, accept him as Savior, that God will change us. And I just want to encourage you in this new year to be about your Father's business. 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call if you want to be a part of the program today. We've got some lines open, and with me, I have with us Scott Parker from Calvary Chapel, Festus, Missouri. Happy New Year, Scott.
Happy New Year to you, Mike, and it's great to be with you here again. As this is, yeah, this is going to be the last Monday program this year, so or the last program this
year. I think it's the last program. I think tomorrow everybody has Christmas Eve off, and so this will be the last live broadcast, so this is why we want to do that. Now, we'll be live on Thursday as well as Friday. Mm-hmm. We'll be back, but for this the rest of this year, this is the last program. And so again, it's just good to get with everybody and answer questions and just do what God wants us to do. What's going on in Festus?
Yeah. I was going to say, Mike, if people want their questions answered this year, they better call now.
Today's the day.
no pressure, but you better call now, you know. Anyhow, Mike, we are so blessed. This weekend coming up is going to be our 20th anniversary of our church. And so we planted the church here in Festus 20 years ago on January the 2nd. It was back in 2005. And so this Sunday, we are having our 20th anniversary. And so we're going to have a special service. We got a special guest coming in to lead worship for us and do special music. And I have a friend of mine, a Calvary pastor from the area, who's part of the Calvary Chapel Association leadership, who's coming to speak for us and to encourage our church. And we're just going to have a wonderful time worshiping the Lord, giving thanks to him for his goodness and his faithfulness through the years. And then we're going to spend, after that, a time of getting together and having a big meal with all the church. And then we are going to share testimonies and just share what the Lord has done for us through the years there at Calvary Chapel Festus. So we're really excited because this is a, you know, Mike, you've pastored for years. You know, these are different milestones that you reach. And so, you know, it's interesting. I was just reading the other day that 68% of church plants actually make it past year three and into year four. And so, you know, when you've done it for 20 years now, boy, that's you wipe some sweat off your head and say, Lord, he's been so faithful and so good to us to allow us to go through so much, but yet still be here. And of course, it's not, you know, without its trials and its tribulations. You know, I that reminds me of Paul when he says we all enter the kingdom of God through many trials and tribulations. But the thing is, as Paul said later to Timothy, God was faithful. He never left me. Even when everyone did, he didn't. And so we look back at 20 years of ministry and we're just so blessed. So if anyone is listening right now, or those who are listening on our St. Louis stations, to the Festus station and the St. Louis station, and you're in the area and you'd like to come and join us, we'd love to have you join us at Calvary Chapel in Festus, just south of St. Louis there. And we'd love to have you on Sunday mornings at 9:30, especially this Sunday morning when we're going to be celebrating our 20th anniversary. We'd love to have you come join us and check us out. And we just teach the Bible book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And so if that's what you're interested in, we'd love to have you come. And Mike, if I could, if I could give our website just real quick.
Sure, go ahead. CC. I always tell people a church alive is worth the drive. So
yeah, exactly. CCFestus.com. CC is in Calvary Chapel. Festus.com, and you can find out all the information about our church there. So anyway, Mike, thanks for letting me share that.
So anyway, New Year's Eve, we won't be here tomorrow. Somebody said I said Christmas Eve. I'm sorry. I meant New Year's Eve. I do that sometimes. But anyway, we're going to have a great time. And so I just want to encourage you, give us a call, 8888, Ask the Ascends, the number to call. We're going to go ahead and go to the phones. We have David on the line in Oklahoma. Hi and welcome.
Yes. Hey, how you doing this afternoon, guys?
How may we help?
Well, yesterday at church, I'm a little, I've never gone to a place that does it like this, where I guess it's like the elders take turns or something like that, teaching, so it's not just like the same guy as you would call a pastor that does it all the time. But anyway, so yesterday he was in 1 Corinthians, and he was glad, and just this, he wasn't even part of his message, but it stuck out to me because he said he was glad that it's not going to be his turn to teach on it next time, and he was going to say that there are no more miracles, that we have the Word of God now, and so we go off of that. And that kind of took me aback. I've never heard that before.
No, this is an idea that people have, and it's false. Now, a couple of things. Number one, the miracles did not start in Acts chapter 2 when the day of Pentecost had fully come. Miracles are all the way through the Old Testament, whether we look at Moses going before Pharaoh, the different signs and wonders that he did, parting the Red Sea, manna from heaven, all those things, whether you look at the miracles that Elijah did, whether miracles follow those that believe. So since they didn't start in Acts chapter 2, why would they end in the last chapter of the book of Acts? Well, they misquote a verse. That which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away with. And so they're saying then that gifts are that which is in part, because that which is perfect is come, speaking of the Bible, that's what they say, the miracles cease. So just imagine, miracles are all going on, the Council of Nicaea gets together, they vote on the 66 books of the Bible, and the very next day there are no more miracles. That's really goofy teaching, and there's no other way to say it. Miracles are part of a believer's life. The Bible says signs and wonders follow those that believe. Now, when it says that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away with, that which is perfect is come is speaking of Jesus Christ. When he is here in person, we will no longer need signs, wonders, miracles, those things, because we have him right in front of us. But until he comes, those gifts of the Spirit that we find mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 14, Ephesians, other places in the scripture, it's to make it as if Jesus himself was there in our midst. And I believe when all those gifts come together, as an example on a Sunday morning, I believe great, wonderful things happen. I have personally witnessed great signs and wonders myself. as God continues to do wonders. And for anyone to say God is not in the miracle working business anymore, I don't think there's anything, I hate to say this, farther from the truth. Your thoughts?
That's right, Mike. And it's very interesting because, again, as Mike said, that whole idea comes right there from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in verse 11. Because in the context, in verse 8, Paul says love never fails. He's talking about the supremacy of love over spiritual gifts, and especially the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues and things like that. He's saying that the more perfect is love. It's better to have love than it is to be able to speak in tongues or even to do miracles or anything like that. In fact, in the very first verse, he actually says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but if I don't have love, then I become basically nothing, he says in the first two verses. And so that's the context there, is speaking of spiritual gifts, and particularly speaking of tongues is what it's speaking of there. Paul's saying, again, it would be better for the Corinthian church. By the way, the Corinthian church was a church that was very divisive. They were a church that was very carnal. They were a church that that fought against each other and were very sectarian and divided the body of Christ. And so Paul is saying, you guys do have the Holy Spirit moving among you in a sense of practicing the gifts and exercising the gifts, but what you're missing is love. And he actually says love is greater than all of those other things. That's really the context there. And so that's what he's talking about. And then he's talking about prophecy in verse 39. He says, for we know in part, we prophesy in part, and we do, because anybody who prophesies is prophesying in faith, believing that what they're saying is from the Lord, whether it's teaching the Bible or whether it's a word from the Holy Spirit that lines up with Scripture. But then in verse 10, when he says, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part, speaking of, again, the gift of prophecy there, where then it'll be done away with. And so it's very interesting, as Mike said, the perfect there, those churches that are what we would call cessationist. Cessationist means that describes a person who believes that the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and some of the gifts that are also mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4 and also gifts that are mentioned there in Romans chapter 12. Now, not so much the gifts in chapter 12, but especially the ones in 1 Corinthians 12 and some of those in Ephesians 4, what they'll say is those gifts have passed away with the apostles. Those gifts were given to the apostles to establish the church, to confirm the word they were preaching was true. And then after they died, those gifts died out. And that's what they say is the gifts of the Holy Spirit have ceased. That's where the word cessation comes from. They have ceased from operating. But we don't find that, again, as Mike said, anywhere in the Scripture, or do we see it even in history of the church. So what's very interesting here, again, what they'll do is they'll say the word perfect there, as Mike said, means the Bible. But really, that which is perfect has come is talking about that time when we are finally in the perfected state. It's actually talking about the eternal state, when we are finally glorified as Jesus is glorified. And when is that going to happen? That's going to happen when Jesus comes. That's going to happen whenever Jesus comes, raptures the church, and resurrects the dead believers. And also when he returns the second time, when the church and believers return with him, he sets up his kingdom. And then after that, he brings the new heaven, a new earth. When we enter into that eternal state with Jesus, everything will be perfect. And then guess what? We won't need the gift of tongues. We won't need to prophesy. We won't need the gift of knowledge or any of these gifts, because we will be everything we've believed in by faith. We will actually have in sight. It will be perfect. There'll be no need for those anymore. So Mike is exactly right. When it's speaking about the perfect there, it can refer to Jesus, because when he comes, he's going to bring the eternal state with him, in which we're going to be part of that, and then we will no longer need these gifts. That's what it's actually talking about. And let me say this real quick, too. When it came to the issue of going to a church where they have multiple elders that are teaching the Bible each week instead of one pastor, I have a very good friend of mine who is an elder at a church and has been an elder at this church for years and years, that has that same kind of model. They have a plurality of elders, which actually every church should have a plurality of elders. You should have more than one elder in your church. But in the plurality of elders, what they do is they share the teaching of the teaching of the Word of God, the teaching, preaching of the gospel, and all of that, the teaching of doctrine among the eldership, among the plurality of elders. And so some churches that do that, they don't have what we would call today a senior pastor, or really what Paul called a bishop or an overseer. Instead, they just have elders who teach. Now, here's the thing. Paul did tell Timothy that an elder who is not only an older man, but it's speaking more specifically of a mature Christian man, and that the elders of the church, those who have been recognized to be those spiritual men to lead the church, have been set aside for that. He said that one of the things they should be able to do is they should be apt to teach. An elder in a church should be able to take the Bible and teach the Word of God. If he can't, then he really shouldn't be an elder. And that doesn't mean that every elder has a teaching gift on par with a pastor, but an elder should be able to, he should know his Bible so well that he can instruct people in the church in the Word of God, and even when necessary, fill the pulpit. So some churches, and you'll find they're more fewer in our culture, but they are out there where they share the teaching of the Word of God with all the elders, instead of having, you know, again, what we would call in our culture a senior pastor. Paul would call him a bishop or overseer. But the fact that Paul does mention the position of the overseer or the bishop does tell us that there should be in each church a pastor, someone who is leading the church, and that the elders are supporting and are helping him to lead the church. And it's very interesting because the term pastor we find, you know, in the New Testament, and that word pastor literally means a shepherd, someone who has oversight of the church, of the ministry, of the people in a spiritual way, and they're responsible for feeding them, protecting them, and caring for them spiritually. The elders, and let me say this, every pastor is an elder because he should be a mature man. So a pastor is an elder of the church. But not every elder in the church is a pastor in that sense when you read the New Testament. So that might be a little confusing. I hope it's not. I hope I kind of cleared it up for you there a little bit. But that's the way some churches do operate. So it's not all that odd to find a church with no pastor, quote, but just the elders teaching. You will find them. Again, they're not that plentiful, but I have here in our area ran into that on several occasions. And so that's why, you know, you ran into a church like that. And, but the whole thing with, you know, saying miracles have ceased and the gifts have ceased, I do not believe you can use 1 Corinthians 13:11 to support that at all, as Mike said.
No, and in fact, Mark 16:17-18, and yeah. these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents. And certainly we find Paul actually did that, picking up sticks, and the snake bit him. They drink deadly things that shall not harm them. Why? Because people want to kill people that love Jesus. And so this is, I believe, very much a reality. And again, I've seen God do so many miracles. I feel sorry for any individual or church that doesn't believe God does miracles anymore. No wonder their church is so dead. Because God is a God of life and power and authority that comes from on high. And so I would just encourage you, David, that I don't think personally I would go to any church that didn't believe in the miracle working power of God, because I think you're denying the very essence of the Holy Spirit, what God wants to do in the believer's life and in the world today as well. Hope that helps.
Yes, and I mean, isn't it a miracle when he saves us too anyway? I mean, you know?
Well, they'll say that that's just a work of the Holy Spirit, but it's all a work of the Holy Spirit when a person is healed and a person is restored. And going back to that, you know, when Jesus wrote to the seven churches, he wrote to the messenger of the church at Ephesus, write. The word messenger, the word to the angel is the word messenger there. And so it to me, it appears that in those seven churches in Revelations 2 and 3, that there was a senior pastor, and Jesus was addressing where these individual churches were to be commended, and also where they were to be corrected because of their doctrine. And so I believe a senior pastor in a church follows a biblical protocol. But again, it doesn't really matter oftentimes, but what somebody is saying. And if somebody says the miracles ceased with the apostles, it isn't the God that I know, because miracles are all the way through the Bible, all the way through it. And I think that's so important. Hope that helps, David.
Yes, and I just some other little inklings and things that they say here and there that have stood out to me that I'm almost kind of thinking I need to go somewhere else, because I don't think I'm going to be able to change their mind about anything by bringing anything up to them.
No, probably not. You know, if you don't want to believe in the power of God, then you don't believe in the power of God. But I do. I read the book. And, you know, when you read in the book of Revelation, for an example, the miracles that are done there are amazing, what God does. Just the protection of the 144,000 Jews is a divine miracle of God. So to say the miracle ceased with the apostles, you're not going to find that in the scripture anywhere. So hope that helps, David. If you like, stay in line. I'll send you out to the movie Jesus, as well as a little book called Time to Grow, 101 Last Days Prophecies, because again, you need to get into a church that really is alive in the spirit. And I don't mean rolling down the aisles, swinging on chandeliers. I don't mean where the whole congregation is yelling in tongues. I'm talking about where the dynamic of the Holy Spirit is there. And you know that you can bring somebody there and they're going to have a real encounter with Christ when they walk through the door, because they're going to hear God's word. Not what God ain't doing anymore, but what God is doing. I hope that helps. Stay in line, David. We'll get you taken care of, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Happy New Year to you. And if you need us, we're here for you. Be sure to call us. Let's go to Terry, Bend, Oregon. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, how are you today, pastors?
Good. How may we help?
Good. Well, the reason I called, and you're talking about the gentleman that's in the church that the pastor didn't believe there were miracles today, and I can definitely refute that for myself.
Oh, amen.
Back in 1983, I was probably 23, 24 years old, whatever, back in Texas. And my parents happened to be with me. I was at a church with them, and there were about 2,000 people. And nobody knew that I had had a heart problem, which was pericarditis. And I was still pretty weak. So the president of the school, church, what have you, said, there's somebody in here that has a heart problem. And my mom said, that's you. And I'm thinking, I ain't getting up in front of 2,000 people. You know, that was my thinking. But anyhow, she kept persisting that somebody in here has a heart problem. So I stood up, started to go forward. People came forward, laid hands on me. I was out on the floor for about 5 minutes in front of 2,000 people, got up, and I got hired at a full-time job and few days later, whatever, and I was back to work. So I know God healed me at that time.
Amen. No, I know God's in the miracle working business. And you know, Scott, I know you've seen God do amazing things. We have people in our church that were diagnosed with terminal cancer. They're still here doing fine. God is a God of miracles, and that's all I can say. And I would really, really feel terrible to tell people God doesn't do miracles anymore. Oh, how awful. How awful is that? God is a miracle-working God. And again, whether you look in the Old Testament, you look in the New Testament, it's full of the power of God. Scott, I know you've seen miracles.
Of course, Mike, yes. You know, and God is, he's so faithful to take care of us. And, you know, it is interesting. You know, when you read in the book of Acts, you know, for instance, whenever it says that they were taking the handkerchief or the basically it's a sweat rag that Paul was using and was laying it upon the sick, and they were healed, you know, and they all were being healed, and people are being healed by Peter's shadow being casted over people. You know, it tells us right there in Acts chapter or in Acts 19 in Ephesus when that was happening with Paul, that God was doing special miracles through the hands of Paul. And that's true. God does, and he did in the book of Acts through the apostles, do very special miracles that really we shouldn't try to emulate today, you know. And Mike, I know you've seen this, right? You've seen this where these TV preachers, you send them some money and then they'll send you a handkerchief that they've supposedly anointed and laid their hand on.
Oh, no, I got a miracle wallet. I got a miracle wallet. I'm kidding. Really? I'm kidding, everybody. They got these miracle wallets, and we have a 2-for-1 deal right now if you call in the next 20 minutes. It sounds like some hawking thing on some commercial on TV. It's terrible. That's junk. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about people, just like our caller, had a heart condition. God called it out. God healed him. God is still in the miracle working business today. Yes. Absolutely. Hope that answers it for you.
It does. And the only one other comment I'd make, when I was back in Arizona at one time and I went to the church that I visited and wanted to tell them about my healing, they wouldn't let me tell them because they didn't see it.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people that say different things and do different things, but you know, when the miracle happens to you, hey, that's part of your testimony. And I share what God has done for me every chance I get. And so no one can ever take that away from you. And I've had a lot of people say, well, Mike, I'd love to share about the Lord. I'd like to share my testimony and tell people about the Bible, but I don't know the Bible very good. Well, then share what God has done for you, because that will point people to the kingdom of heaven. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hey, amen. Stay alive. We'll send you out some books, some DVDs. Hey, we're coming up on a break, everyone. Don't go away. We'll have a whole lot more coming up right after this.
It's so easy to politicize abortion, but the reality is there's a precious life at stake, and that little life doesn't have a voice. All that little life has is a heartbeat, and it can be heard as early as 5 weeks on ultrasound. That's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is a voice for the little ones.
They do an ultrasound, and that's when everything changed. Because when I saw my baby, and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
Preborn Network of Clinics offers free ultrasounds to women in crisis while showering them with God's love. This powerful combination doubles a baby's chance at life and has helped rescue over 300,000 babies. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. This time of year is decision time for a lot of people, but it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For many families, joining MediShare means saving about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people, obviously. But what's more, MediShare members like it a lot. Their satisfaction rate is 98%. Imagine that. And MediShare is a proven thing, too, for over 30 years. It's a Christian community of hundreds of thousands of people now. And here's the thing. If you join before December 31st and you mention the promo code SHARE, they'll waive your application fee. So you save even more right off the bat. I'll give you the number here in a second, but just call and you'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline is December 31st. So call now and you'll save even more. Here's the number, 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE, 855-91-BIBLE.
Welcome you back to part two of To Every Man an Answer here on the last live program of To Every Man an Answer for the year 2024. Tomorrow we have New Year's Eve, and so everybody has that off. And so if you're listening to this or something like it, hey, listen, we'll be back live radio on Thursday and Friday to answer your questions. But tomorrow we give everybody the day off, or half the day off, as well as New Year's Day. And so it'll be a good time of refreshing. A lot of people take their Christmas trees down on the first. But anyway, and I also want to say, especially as this is the last live broadcast, thank you for all of you who listen to CSN, who pray for us and support us. I just want to say thank you, because without what you do, we could never do what we do. We're all in this together. Nobody's got Lear jets out in the parking lot. You know, something we just need to understand, that I believe time's running out. And I don't know how much time we've got, but for whatever we've got, we'd want to do the best we can to make the best impact for the kingdom of heaven. And so I just want to encourage you to keep us in your prayers. Again, thank you for all of you that support CSN, support the different programmers. It helps us pay the tower rents. It helps us pay the all the things we do. Just our tower rents alone are $250,000 a month. Now, that's what we have to come up with every month. We never pay off, just to rent space on top of these mountains on the towers to broadcast the gospel. And, you know, we're building new stations. We built a whole bunch this year, and we've got a whole bunch to build next year. As the Lord opens the doors, we're working to build a new station in the San Diego Oceanside area. So look, God's doing lots of great, wonderful things. And I just want to say especially thank you. Great's your reward in heaven. Thank you. It's not too late to help us out this year, even if that helps your taxes. But being about our Father's business, so important in the days we're in, because I do believe we're running out of time. You know, I got to tell you, we still have Putin threatening the world with global nuclear war. You still have North Korea completely out of control. You have Iran completely out of control. These are all nuclear nations. North Korea, the 30th poorest country on earth, threatening the world now with nuclear weapons. Friends, we are not in a world that we've ever been in before. And I'm grateful for the president that we have coming on the 20th of January. But I don't believe he's going to be able to fix all the problems. I believe that there's a lot of force. You know, the Communist Party has been waiting 80 years to overthrow America. And I think I think a lot of their dreams were thwarted by this last election. Let me explain it clearly. Have you heard them say, in 5 years or in 3 years, you'll own nothing and be happy? Well, that's right out of Karl Marx's playbook. That's what communism is. And that's what their idea was to bring to America. Let the American economy collapse, then out of the ashes, the new communist America that will capitulate to the one world order. Well, Trump wrecked that, I think. And I don't know. We might have got a reprieve. I don't know. Or it may be the very thing that causes the civil war. I look at MSNBC. You'd think they would learn from their absolutely tanking ratings. And yet they still continue to pump out the same imbalanced. I just go, wow, how do they do this? CNN the same way. You look at it and say, why don't you report the whole story? When you talk about Trump wants to take over Panama. No, there are treaties that were involved with Panama concerning the way they were to treat the United States in us turning the Panama Canal over to them. But they have not done those things. This is what Trump was talking about. But will the American news media tell the American public the truth? Nah, they're not going to do that. They have an agenda. It's to end America, friends, and to be a global player, part of the one world order and the new beautiful communist America, where you will owe nothing. The government will give you everything you need. That's what their dream was. Well, it got thwarted, at least for a while. Let your light shine. We have an open door. Be about your Father's business, because I think we're living in really exciting times. Back to the phones we go. Terry on the line, Pocatello, Idaho. Hi, welcome.
Hi, yes. I'd like to see if you guys could remind me where we can find where it talks about to compare what you're hearing from teachers so that you know it's the truth and from the Bible. And then I'd like to see if we could pray for those that are listening to Geno Jennings.
Well, I don't know who that is, but I will tell you this. The Bible tells us about the Bereans. As Paul delivered his message, they went and studied the scriptures to see if these things were so. Your thoughts?
That's exactly right, Mike. And the context there is the fact that, you know, when Paul was doing his missionary journeys, it was his custom to go first to the synagogues because he was a Jew. And so he knew the gospel was for the Jew first, as he says in the book of Romans. So he goes to Thessalonica, the city of Thessalonica, goes to the Jews. Some of them there actually received what he had to say concerning Jesus Christ and the Old Testament and the gospel, but most of the Jews didn't. In fact, they got a mob together and went to go after he and Silas. So they escaped from there. They came to this place called Berea that Mike just mentioned. And so there he goes again to the synagogue of the Jews. And it says in 17:11, so that is Acts 17:11 is the scripture you're looking for. And it says that these, speaking of the Jews that were in Berea, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word that Paul had spoken with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. So what they did is instead of immediately rejecting it, they took what Paul had to say about Jesus Christ, went back to the Old Testament, searched it through, and found out what Paul was saying was true. And so that's the context, and that's what happened there. Let me do give you this scripture, too, just to kind of help you with that issue about comparing what we hear people say about Jesus or the Bible or about God with scripture. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that all scripture, so all the Bible that we have. Now, for Paul in that day and time, he was talking about the Old Testament and also some of the writings that have already been written by the apostles. But for us, this would be the Old Testament, New Testament. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, which means that God's word is God-breathed. In other words, God's word that we hold in our hand comes from the mind of God. And so what God thinks about things, he spoke out, he breathed them out through the power of his spirit upon the apostles, because 2 Peter 3 tells us, or 1 Peter chapter 1, I think it is, tells us that the apostles wrote, that holy men spoke and wrote as the Holy Spirit carried them. They were inspired by the Holy Spirit, meaning that what came upon them and what came to them was the very words that were in the mind of God, and they wrote them down. And so all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And here's what's interesting. Paul says, and it's profitable. The Bible is profitable for four things. Number one, for doctrine. If you want to know true biblical doctrine, what is essential, what is important, what you have to believe to be a Christian, then you must study the Bible. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. That actually is to tell us what's wrong and to show us what's wrong. And then correction actually is, the Bible actually tells us, when it shows us we're wrong, it tells us how we can be right again. It can correct us where we've been wrong. And then for instruction in righteousness. And what instruction in righteousness is that's once we were wrong and now we're right, this is how we continue to stay biblically straight and biblically right, is through the instruction of the Bible. So Warren Wiersbe used to say this. He used to say, for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, he would say the Bible is profitable to tell you what is right, to tell you what is wrong, to tell you how to get right, and to tell you how to stay right. And so any preacher, any pastor, anybody who tells us anything about God, Jesus, the Bible, or anything spiritual, we have to compare everything that everybody says, even including me and Mike. You know, Mike, I tell our church all the time when I'm preaching, I tell them this all the time when I'm preaching, I'll say, look at your Bible. I want them to see what I'm teaching them is actually written by the authors of scripture and by God himself. I don't want them to believe me just because they trust me because I'm their pastor. I want them to believe what I'm saying because they can read it in their own Bible. And so even if it comes to me or Mike or anybody who preaches the Bible, that's what we should all be like the Bereans. We should take everything that everybody says about God, the Bible, and Jesus and spiritual things, and we should come right to the scriptures and to see if those things are so. And that's exactly what the Bereans did. Mike?
Yeah, because again, you can't say, well, I believe this because my Sunday school teacher told me that or my pastor told me that. What do you believe? I think that's what's important. So going back to what God says, and again, we find different verses in the Bible about line upon line, precept upon precept. If you go to the book of Isaiah 28, it says, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. This is how we study God's word, not just the verses we like, but the verse by verse, precept upon precept. What's that understanding that the Bible is trying to bring out? You might want to check. Maybe that was the verse you were wondering about, but it's Isaiah 28, verse 10. And it'll help you understand what God is saying. So hope that helps, Terry.
Thank you.
Happy New Year to you. If you like Stay in the Light, send you out the DVD of the movie Jesus based on the book of Luke. Something great to share with your friends. A little book called Time to Grow. Send that out to you for New Year's. Let's go to Jennifer, Fastest, Missouri. I've heard of that place.
Okay. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year to you, Jennifer. How may we help?
Okay. God gave me a revelation a couple of days ago. Let's spell out Jerusalem. J-E-R-U-S-A-L-E-M. Now, isn't that a coincidence that God has his hands over Jerusalem? And who else does he have his hands over? USA.
Yes, you know, it's funny. I've seen that several years ago. I saw that on a book, and they had spelt the word Jerusalem, and then they put the letters USA in red, white, and blue. I thought that's kind of an interesting thought. But you know, the Bible very clearly tells us that Jerusalem is God's time clock. And if you go to Luke chapter 21, Jesus said, Jerusalem will be trodden down by the Gentiles till the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. A few more verses, it says, and the generation that sees these things will not pass away till all things are fulfilled. I believe we are running out of time, friends. You know, people say, well, I want to wait till the last minute. Well, I think you're here. You know, I don't know how many people have had a chance to look at the news today. There are earthquakes everywhere around the world. Guatemala, Philippines, Japan. I mean, this is absolutely crazy. And the tsunamis and all these things that are happening are just amazing today. One of the signs of Jesus' return, if you look there in Matthew chapter 24, one of the things that's cited is earthquakes. Now, there's always been earthquakes, friends. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But he says there'll be perplexity among nations, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. The word perplexity among nations means global problems with no way out, is what that means in the original. Hey, we see this everywhere. All these things are happening all at the same time. And what makes this time different than any other time is with the thought of nuclear weapons going off, destroying the ocean, destroying the farmland, destroying all these things. Friends, I believe when Jesus said, when you begin to see these things, look up, your redemption draws nigh. Your thoughts, Scott?
Yeah, that's right. And Jennifer, that's really neat, isn't it? How that works in English. Now, it doesn't work so much like that in Hebrew. The word Jerusalem is Yerushalayim. It comes from two words in Hebrew. It's a compound word in Hebrew, meaning the city of Shalom or Salem, which is peace, the city of peace. But here's what I do think is interesting. What I do think is interesting is we're told actually in the Psalms, in Psalm 122, verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And those who pray for the peace of Jerusalem will prosper. Those who love Jerusalem and pray for Jerusalem and for their peace will prosper. And you know what? That's why I believe that America has been such a world power, has been such a blessed nation. We've truly, you know, for the most part, at least here on our soil, you know, except for, let's say, the Civil War, right? But for the most of America's history, America has been at peace on its own soil. We've been tremendously blessed. Also in Genesis chapter 12, when God made his covenant with Abraham, he actually spoke to Abraham and told him concerning Abraham and his descendants and the nation that would come from his descendants. And he said that those who bless Abraham and his descendants would be blessed. So I find it interesting that as America aligns with the truth of God's word in praying for Jerusalem, and why should we pray for Jerusalem? We should pray for Jerusalem because, number one, it's God's city, not just because it's the capital of
Israel. And God told us to.
And right, he told us to. And the thing is, it's his city that he allowed his people to live in and in his land. So that's why we pray for it, because he commands us to. It belongs to him, and he's told us to bless his people. And if we do, we will be blessed. So we pray for them, we'll be blessed, we'll have peace. And if we do good to them and we bless them, then we will be blessed. I, as we look at America, I think it is interesting, like you pointed out, right in the middle of Jerusalem is USA. You know, and I'm not saying there's any prophetic significance to that. I'm just saying the truth of that, if you go to the Bible, is for the most part, you know, until, you know, this past century, America has been, you know, a big supporter of Israel. We've been their ally, and we have been truly blessed for that, Mike. It's an amazing thing, isn't it?
Amen. And so I hope that answers it for you.
That does answer it. But, you know, when you talk about the end of times, I know you got other calls, won't keep you long, but if you talk about the end of times, have you noticed more birds in the air than we ever had before? Because Revelation talks about that. I mean, we haven't done the rapture yet, but I think God's on his way. I think he's preparing himself for, you know, taking his church home and people that come and know God and have a relationship. That's what I've learned about Calvary Chapel. No matter who it is, it's about having a relationship with Jesus. It's not about just reading your Bible. Yeah, you got to read your Bible, because like Pastor Scott says, don't look at me for the answers. It's in your Bible. So I've learned a lot of that with going to Calvary Chapel and Festa.
Wonderful. Well, the Bible says, thy word I've hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So important. Jennifer, stay online. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. I think you'll enjoy. Happy New Year to you. Let's go to Barnabas. Honolulu, Hawaii. Aloha.
Aloha. How you doing, Mike?
Good, Barnabas. How may we help?
Well, I had a question about the seventh seal in Revelation 8 and 9, but before we got to that, at the beginning of the show, you were encouraging people to be out there and sharing the word of the Lord, and at this time of the year, I usually sit down and I know we don't count nickels and noses, but I kind of like to have an idea of how many Bible tracts I'd handed out to the tourists that come to Kailua Kona several times a week on the cruise ships, and yeah, averaged about 10 per day this year, 3,814 Bible tracts I've given out. And since 2017, living here on the Big Island, I've, praise the Lord, I've given out 23,849 Bible tracts, which averages about 65 per day. So I just wanted to encourage people. I'm going to be 71 years old next month. And when I read things like Revelation chapter 8 and 9, I need to be out there doing the Lord's work, because there's not much time left, like you said. And we need to share the gospel as much as we can and in whatever way that we can. I found that sharing the gospel with people with gospel Bible tracts is a good way, and I'm nice to them. I just ask them if they would like something to read today and hand it to them. I don't shove it in their face. I don't get into big arguments about theology and stuff. I'm just out there fishing. I like to go fishing for the Lord, and I just wanted to encourage people listening that if you're looking for a way to serve the Lord, this is one way that you can do it. You can order some Bible tracts and you can give those out, and that's a good way to preach the gospel to people out there on the street. And when the tourists come to town, you know, there's people from all over the world. I have tracks in Japanese and Korean and Chinese and Spanish and, you know, Filipino and Tamil, you know, which is one of the major languages in India. And I've able to give those out, too. So it's just a real blessing for me. And I just wanted to encourage folks that, you know, there is a way that you can share the gospel if you just get out there and try.
Amen. Barnabas, I appreciate you. I've seen your ministry there firsthand. I'll be sharing at Kula Kona Fellowship there off Aaliyah Drive there on the lawn, the church that's on the grass there, Kona Coast Fellowship, the end of the month, end of January. So if you're around, I'd love to see you and visit with you again. It's always a great time to find people who love God that just put the pedal to the metal and let it roar, because I'll tell you something, great is your reward in heaven. And so, Barnabas, look forward to seeing you, and keep going, okay?
You bet, my brother. It's just a real blessing for me. There's a real joy in it. It really is. It's like handing a man in the desert a glass of cold water. You just, you know, you can just tell when you give somebody the gospel that way that it's really touched their heart. And I'm hoping to meet many, many people in heaven that were given a Bible tract one day by some guy they never saw before.
Amen. Amen. Barnabas, well, God bless you. Happy New Year to you. And if there's anything you need, tell the operator there, and I'll be glad to send you out anything you need for evangelism. Always what our hearts are about. God bless you, Barnabas. Happy New Year to you. Again, Kona Coast Fellowship, the end of January. I'll be speaking there. The Church on the Grass, right on the ocean, right off of Aaliyah Drive. Looking forward to seeing you all there. Let's go to Debbie's, Columbia, South Carolina. Hi, welcome. Hello, Debbie. Are you there? Okay, Debbie, hold on. We'll come back to you. Let's go to Nick, Reno, Nevada. Hi, welcome.
Hi, pastors. Thank you for taking my call.
How may we help?
I just would request prayer for myself and my family.
Okay.
I lost my son, my youngest son, Friday night in a motorcycle accident. He's a father of four, a husband, and yes, his two youngest are 2 and 4 years old.
Oh my.
And my three remaining children, we're just all taking it so hard.
Oh yes.
And
was he a believer?
You know, I had been witnessing to him, but as far as I know, I don't believe that he put his faith in Christ.
You know, I tell you, Nick, you know, tomorrow is not promised to anybody. We're here today. We make the maximum impact we can make because tomorrow is not promised to us. And so often people think, well, yeah, I'll die when I'm 95. No, not always. If you look at the obituary column, hey, listen, people that are 20 and 15 and 8 years old and 32, it can be different ages. You just don't always die when you're old. And I tell people, that's why the Bible says today is the appointed day of salvation. Today's your day to make a decision. How are you going to live the rest of your life? And whether I've got one more day to live or I've got another 30 years to live, I want to do it for God. I mean, I want my life to mean something in eternity, not just to live and die and miss the whole reason we were put here on this earth. Nick, my heart goes out to you, your family. Let's pray, okay? Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name, and I lift up Nick and his family, especially his grandchildren, God, to you. And I just ask you, Lord, that through this terrible event, that this family would come to you, that they would understand the shortness of this life, the importance of having you first in their life, for you being their Savior. And Lord, that you would cause them to become aware of how we're here today and gone tomorrow. And so, Lord, I pray you give Nick the right words to say. I pray that you strengthen him. And, Lord, I know his heart must be breaking, especially at Christmas time, to have your son die. Lord, please, I just pray that you would reach out, strengthen him so he can be that rock in that family, in Jesus' name. Amen. Nick, our prayers are with you.
Thank you. Please pray for her. There was an upcoming custody battle for my son and the mother of the two kids. So please pray that the custody goes to his new wife. Because...
Father, we lift that up. And Lord, we know you're a God of wonders and miracles. Put those kids in the very best place they can be, in Jesus' name. Nick, we're out of time. Stay online if you like. I'll send you some things. Perhaps you can get into your family's hands. Jennifer, Jamie, Happy New Year to you. Sorry I couldn't get to you. Call us back on Thursday or Friday. And again, Happy New Year to all of you. Thanks so much, Scott, for being on. Look forward to being back with you again. Till then, keep looking up. Our redemption draws nigh. Happy New Year. Good night.
83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store, or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.